Bow with me.
Dear God, our eternal Heavenly Father, we come to Thee at this time asking, Father, that Thy Holy Spirit might rest upon us, upon our speaker, that he too might be enlightened by Thy Word and Thy Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'd like to go to the call of worship this morning, which is from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth their strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. May the Lord add a blessing to his word, and may we use hymn number 244, and you can remain seated if you would like. Hymn number 244.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine.
I want to give special thanks to my brother Eldon Evan Fry this morning for today's subject. He was, for those who don't know him, he was a radio minister back in the 1940s, all the way up in through the 50s. He was pastor of a branch for some time and also worked in the hierarchy of the church. So I just wanted to let you know that, because it's good to read old books. There's a lot in them. A lot of the gentlemen from the days past bring a lot of inspiration that can renew even ourselves, especially when we're having times like what are going on right now in the church and outside. From Acts 19, 1 through 6, I'd like to read this. This is when the Holy Ghost was given to those who didn't even know what the Holy Ghost was. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, this is Acts 19, beginning at verse 1, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then Paul verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, just like that. They were filled. When Paul came to Ephesus, he found there a body of believers who had accepted certain doctrines, and we see this happening today, certain doctrines and held beliefs, who had even obeyed as much as they knew of the gospel laws and the ordinances within the religion that they had come into. But they seemed unable to move forward from that. They weren't growing. They had not been making the progress that Paul, as he watched them, thought they should make when he came and met them, because it had been a while since they became believers. But it didn't take Paul to know what and understand what they were lacking. He asked, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They replied, They had not even heard of it. let alone experienced it. They had no idea what he was talking about. Paul then explained to them that John the Baptist had pointed to one mightier than himself, and with their permission, very important, with their permission and consent, Paul baptized them in the name of Lord Jesus. And I want you to note this order. And after he did that, he then laid hands upon them. This is the same order we have in the church today. And prayed for them to have the reception of the Holy Ghost, which was manifested through the gift of tongues and prophecy unto them. And Paul's letters to the churches established throughout the Mediterranean countries are many teachings about the Holy Ghost, because Paul, you see, after visiting and realizing what was happening there, he wanted to make sure that whenever he preached and went from town to town, that they all knew about the Holy Ghost and the workings of it. Here's a few of the scriptures. One from Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. He recognized that there was great power in the Holy Ghost, and that to move on, to have the understanding, the true understanding, that you had to been endowed, that you had to have been recepted and had that Holy Ghost within you. In 1 Corinthians 6, beginning at verse 19, it says this. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? We touched on this a little bit last week also, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Not one of us is our own. We belong to God. For ye were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It all belongs to God. And until we acknowledge that and get to the point where we really, truly realize that without God we are nothing, that everything we have comes from God, then things are going to be hard. And we're going to have trouble 100% giving ourselves to the Lord. And from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And that much assurance comes from the Holy Ghost, that you know the things that you need to know. In John 14, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You see, Paul seemingly considered it supremely important that those who believe should receive an experience after having the abiding comforter of Jesus, another comforter that was given. You see, when Christ was here, he was their comforter. But Christ had to go. But he promised that there would be another comforter that would be left. It says that if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. May abide with you forever. There's always that little bit of, you have something you have to take care of for you to have that abiding spirit within you. In chapter 26, or in verse 26, it says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, Jesus Christ's name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I had said unto you. So this Holy Ghost opens up your mind so that you will have the remembrance of all those things which you've been taught, all those things and the truth of it, which have been brought forth year after year from the prophets. All things, not just some, those things that you need. The presence of the Holy Ghost, which is a part of the Godhead, is the seal of a new birth. It gives acknowledgement of the Father and the Son, as well as the promise which was made, that if people will live according to the laws of God's kingdom, then they will have place in it for eternity. So here's a few simple tests, if you will, on how we can answer questions, not just for ourselves in our daily life, but others around us also, because there's fruits that come from this. The question is, have you received of the Holy Ghost? First of all, this experience has been likened to a new spiritual birth. When you come out of the waters of baptism, you've been cleansed. And now the fire takes over and cleanses you even further, so that when the hands are laid upon you, you are prepared for the reception of the Holy Ghost, which is what the people were missing, remember, in Ephesus. For he who has truly received of the Holy Ghost has become a new creature, transformed, if you will, changed from the thing which they were to something new and different. We're not just the same old person. We are changing. We have changed. We've become different, acceptable to the Lord, not acceptable to the world, acceptable to the Lord and God. Where once we were weak, we have been made strong by the power of the Holy Ghost. By that very power which is within you, you can get through all the weaknesses that this world will throw at you. You can get past those if you allow yourself to be clean, following the commandments to keep that Holy Ghost within you. Because remember, we are temples of the Holy Ghost, which comes from God, created for that purpose. The whole direction of one's life must be changed with an eye single to God's glory. In Matthew 6:38, it says this: Wherefore, seek not the things of this world, but seek ye first to build up the kingdom of God and establish his righteousness. And I can tell you one thing, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you're going to be distracted by the world and have things that you think you have to take care of that are worldly, that are more important than seeking first to build up the kingdom of God, which is what the Holy Ghost is going to try to keep you on track to do by speaking with you through that voice, that still small voice. Speaking in a worldly fashion, sometimes we might say a man has the spirit of poetry or the spirit of music. And all that means, as we would think, is that if you have the spirit of poetry, well, you have that within you to be able to write beautiful words on a piece of paper. And if you have the spirit of music, you might have the spirit to be able to compose these beautiful sets of music that are so pleasing to the ear. However, when a person is spiritually filled with the Holy Ghost, they have wonderful, beautiful attributes such as holiness, love, compassion, as well as wisdom and discernment. Now, this new life convicts one to forsake sin. Abhor sin is what the scriptures say. That means you can't stand the least little bit of it in your life or to be around it. You are now devoted to holiness. And that's how these men were back in the day. These prophets, they were devoted to being holy. And they couldn't stand any bit of sin. And that caused them death. That caused them human death because the people around them didn't like the things they had to say and told them that they had to change the way they were living. And they didn't want to change the way they were living. So we got to get rid of these guys. We can never more merely be content just to get by. Instead, we have to desire perfection. Every day we have to be working to perfection. We can't just get by, brothers and sisters. Just getting by gets us the way the world is today. And it's not a good place right now. It's because everybody's just getting by and doing their own thing. Secondly, one who has the Holy Ghost within them has the testimony that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Because it is by the power of the Holy Ghost which bears witness to us of the God, our Father, and Jesus Christ the Son, and the reality of the connection between them two, and the knowledge of the things that are done, and the things that have been placed, and the order of things. It's not just something you read. It's now in your heart. It's in your mind, because the Holy Ghost has allowed you to absorb that information, and it doesn't become faith anymore. It becomes knowledge that you know. We know that the Holy Ghost bears witness of the Father and the Son. The Holy Ghost is able to change all your faith and hope to knowledge, because it gives you that understanding that you have that perfect knowledge. It was by the Holy Ghost that all the ancient prophets spoke. They didn't speak on their own. It was by the will of God through the Holy Ghost that they spoke. By it they testified of the coming of the Messiah. How could they have known that? They were able to reveal many of the deep things concerning God, which we still have us today, because they're right here in the words that have been placed on these pages, which we have. You will be enlightened with wisdom and knowledge and understanding to a level that you could not even realize. An understanding unlike that that any physical person can understand or ascertain from this world. It's a spiritual understanding, and that's what we touched upon last week, and I hope you remember those words from last week, that we need to become a more spiritual people. The Holy Ghost is given to guide us to the truth of all things, to enlighten all who will follow its leadings, to have a keen sense and a better grasp of the real truth of things, so that you won't be faked out, if you will. Not just a questionable view of things, but a knowledge that you know that it is right or that it is wrong. That you don't find yourself lost in questioning things all the time. Someone who has received the Holy Ghost will have manifest through them the fruits of the Spirit, which we can find in the 5th chapter of Galatians. They are love, joy, peace. I want you to think of all these things that we're supposed to have within us if we've got that Holy Ghost within us. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, which is self-restraint. And I know that causes us all difficulty from time to time, having that self-restraint. But I want you to understand this. Those who claim to have these, to have the Holy Spirit within them while living with hate and sorrow, impatient, rudeness, skepticism, questioning everything all the time, pride or self-indulgence, have proven themselves a liar. Proving themselves a liar. It doesn't take much to see that, really, when you think about it. If they're showing the fruits of the Spirit, they're good. They have the Holy Ghost with them. If they're showing these other things and can say that they have the Holy Ghost within them, but they're doing these other things, then they're liars. Because the Holy Ghost would not allow them to do those things. They would have that higher understanding, that discernment, the wisdom and knowledge. One filled with the Holy Ghost has doubts and fears removed, replaced with a new delight, a new understanding, a new purpose in life. Note that when Paul laid his hands on those believers in Ephesus, they immediately received the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues and prophesied. But this is really important for us to understand. One thing that cannot go unnoticed concerning those who have received the Holy Ghost is their willingness to be obedient to the Lord and following the commandments, along with all the other ordinances that they have being done, are being done of authority and be administering properly by those people who have been chosen of God. Not man's authority, but God's authority. Sadly, many today who seek to receive the Holy Ghost do not find it because they seek it in the wrong way. They're trying to dictate their terms on how they receive the Holy Ghost and what the Holy Ghost will do for them, and then in turn what they will do for the Holy Ghost and do for God. It don't work that way. You have to be clean. You have to be receptive, and you have to be willing to go forth and do those things that you've been asked to do so that those fruits will be able to come forth through you after you've received the Holy Ghost. And we have to keep them. If you fall outside of that, the Holy Ghost can't dwell with you. If you allow sin to be within your very bodies, and you live with that sin, the Holy Ghost cannot dwell there because God cannot dwell where there is sin. Simple as that. And the Holy Ghost comes right from Him. Those who know of its comforting spirit are enlightened and strengthened and given power and a greater and fuller joy to the unrefutable knowledge given them of that which will eventually be theirs, a place in God's kingdom. And is that not what we are all working for? That we might have a place in God's kingdom even today. You know, God's kingdom is here if we live it properly, with the ability for it to be within each one of us, but we have to be living by the kingdom law. And if we're not, and we're not living that way and not allowing the Holy Ghost to be within us and dwell with us and stay there as a tabernacle of God, then we're not going to be able to live by that law and find ourselves not being able to enter into God's kingdom. There are things that are expected of us. It's not just to accept Jesus Christ and go out and do the things you want to do. It's to accept Jesus Christ, use him as an example, and go forth and be that kind of a person. To have that love, to be obedient, to be temperate, not to fall into sin. And of course, because of Christ and through him, we're able to repent. But we got to get out of that right away if that happens to us. We cannot spend a moment extra in that time of sin, because it keeps us farther away from God and his kingdom. I want to finish by reading a poem that I found, and this is from LaFond Hall. And it's about the Holy Ghost. And it's interesting that, you know, we have our conscience and we think of that, and we think of that still small voice talking to us, both in our minds and in our hearts, always trying to let us know the difference between right and wrong, that spirit that has been given to us. I want you to listen to these words. The Holy Ghost speaks softly. He never shouts, you'll find. Instead, he whispers gently an idea in your mind. When you're deciding something and aren't sure what to do, just listen hard within your heart. His voice will come to you. And I think that's a perfect script, or it's almost scriptural to me as it speaks to my heart. Because we have to have that patience and take that time to offer a prayer, is what I see in there, to take a time to listen to that answer, what is given to you in your heart. No matter what it is in your life that you're asking, no matter if it's something big or something small, if you pray about it and give your Lord a chance to speak to you, give God a chance to work within your heart and your mind, those answers will come and you will be assured. You won't be questioning. Now, the outcome might not always be exactly what you thought it was going to be, but it might be in the fact that that outcome is going to take you to another step, another direction that you need to go. But regardless, the Lord will help you on your way if you allow him and ask him for direction. So I want you to keep all that information, look at it, study it, and then share it with others around you. Because when you share with others around you, you know what you're sharing? You're sharing love. You're sharing that joy that you have, that you want others to have. You're showing them of your understanding and giving patience that you can help them on their way, just as you've been helped by your way by someone in the past to get to where you are now. So I pray that the Lord will continue to bless you. I pray that you will find yourself studying. I want you to pray about all the things that are going on in the world these days and ask the Lord to give you understanding and comfort so that you'll have the ability and the knowledge to know that the Lord will take care of you. I don't want you to get caught up in all the things that are going on in the world, but we need to be aware of it, because the Lord tells us we're not supposed to be ignorant of the many things that are going on, but to have knowledge and to ask the Lord and have trust in him that he will see us through. So I pray for peace for you. I pray that if you need a blessing, that the Lord would bless you from whatever it is, whether it's a spiritual blessing because you're having difficulty struggling with something in your mind and heart, a question you might have, or whether you have an illness even that you're not aware of in your body. I pray that the Lord would bless you even now, that those things would be taken care of, and that you would hear that still small voice that you're waiting to hear, and that you will understand it so that you will have no worries upon your heart. May the Lord continue to bless you. It's my prayer.
Rise up, O saints of God, the church for you doth wait, her strength unequal to her tasks. Rise up and make her great.
Would you please bow with me? Heavenly Father, we come forth before you thankful. Thankful for all that you do for us each day. Thankful for the words that you have given us in the scriptures. And thank you for the Holy Ghost, Father, and the knowledge that it has given unto us, that we might have that discernment we are called to have in all things that we ask. Father, we come before thee asking a blessing upon each one of us here, Father, and those that are out and about, that truly we would have the protection of thy angels to go before us, to keep us safe. And we pray that we might truly be a body of Christ, Father, working to build this church, his church, as he has called us out of the wilderness once again, to profess thy word, that it might sink deep into the hearts of those around us, that we might be able to do our part in changing of those ways that people think, that they might come closer to you. Be with us in all our doings, Father, in our comings and goings, is my prayer in your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.